Support comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation in supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. When you hear the term green building, energy efficiency and renewable materials probably come to mind. In Ohio, the idea has been firmly embraced by way of the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, or LEED standards. More than 100 Ohio public schools, for example, have been constructed according to those standards. But the LEED standards have changed a bit, triggering a backlash by some industries now pushing to ban LEED for state and school construction projects across the country. Recently, the GOP-led Ohio Senate passed a resolution that would ban LEED standards for government and school buildings. The measure is now in the House. Coming up, we'll hear from one of the co-sponsors of that resolution. But first is Columbus LEED accredited architect Eric Thompson. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me on.
What is the purpose of LEED? What's the goal of those standards?
Well, LEED was is really the leading third-party rating system for verifying that a building is green. So LEED aimed to provide an independent outside stamp of approval that verified a real significant environmental achievement in a building's project.
What do we mean by environmental achievement? What marks environmental achievement?
Sure, that's a great question because before LEED, there was a variety of green building claims. One building might say or project might say, oh, well, we use some recycled content, so we're a green building. Another might say, oh, well, we save some energy, so we're a green building. What LEED tried to address was, first of all, comprehensive. So it addresses a number of different factors. It addresses water efficiency, energy efficiency, using low toxicity and low emitting materials. It addresses recycled content and a variety of other things while allowing for flexibility and innovation. But it also sets a high bar for each of those. So so you knew that when you were meeting LEED, you were achieving a significant standard. It was a real environmental achievement and had a real substantial impact.
Is it a matter of when you talk about, say, water efficiency, buying a certain kind of plumbing and having it installed?
That's part of it, for sure. Most current modern building systems are complex systems that require, that have interconnecting parts, that all of which can contribute to efficiency. But conceptually, yeah, that's basically the idea, is using the fixtures themselves and then the whole systems that are backing up those fixtures are contributing to water efficiency.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we are talking about LEED standards today. There is a resolution pending in the Ohio House. It's a Senate-passed resolution that would ban LEED accreditation requirements for all state government buildings, schools in Ohio. If you have a question or comment, my guest right now is Eric Thompson. He's a sustainability architect, LEED certified architect at the local architectural firm of NBBJ. If you have a question, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. LEED updated its rating system, I think last spring it was announced.
Right.
Upsetting certain industries, especially timber and plastics, I believe, in particular. What changed?
Well, the new version of LEED is a system that is continually being updated and refined. It's gone, as you've heard, it's version 4. It's been through three versions before. And so one thing that each version of LEED does is, as the industry catches up to where LEED is through, increased awareness of green building procedures, more mainstream, LEED raises the bar. So in an earlier version of LEED, you might be able to achieve energy efficiency points with a lower energy efficiency. Now that bar has been raised. It's introduced a couple of other changes as well. Another one is encouraging integration and collaboration among the project team. So while that's always been something that's been an advantage to achieving success and LEED ratings. That's something that's now being specifically rewarded. I think the points that you're talking about that are causing some controversy are a different approach to the materials, the products that have gone into a project. So in the previous versions, you got rewarded for specific things like recycled content or locally sourced. The new version of LEED is prioritizing transparency. So in a way, like a almost like a nutrition label on, okay, on food. So it's encouraging the building owners and the architects knowing specifically what's in a product, how it was made, how much energy was used in being made. So as a suite of topics, that's essentially what the changes in the material side points are.
When we talk about energy efficiency, that's a broad brush term.
Sure.
That doesn't just mean when I turn on my tap in the bathroom, I'm getting the optimal flow of water. It also means how that tap was made, and whether or not it was made in a LEED specified or environmentally approved manner down the road. It might not necessarily have to do with the energy efficiency at the sink, but in how it was manufactured.
That's exactly right. And one of the helpful things about LEED is that it tries to be very clear about those different categories. So there is one category that addresses specifically the actual energy use in the end product, the building. Mm-hmm. But some of these new points do also encourage reducing energy in the production of the actual products that go, such as plumbing fixtures or whatever goes into a building. Although it's not, the new version of LEED is mainly prioritizing, again, transparency. So
it's not banning use of certain
products. It's not saying you have to meet some energy standard for a plumbing fixture or something like that. It's really just saying that you have to provide information about.
Like what?
Well, the material, the chemical ingredients, is one area. So a full listing of chemical ingredients. And there's ways that LEED allows a lot of flexibility. So these are some of the paths. You can also use outside. There's options that involve outside rating organizations. Another area is environmental product declarations, which talk about, again, about that life cycle of the product. So how much energy went into it, what raw materials are used, where are they extracted, how is the material, is it able to be recycled or disposed of efficiently at the end? And then there's another section that deals with the overall corporate practices of the company that's producing the product. So are they, engaging in reducing their impact on the environment. So it's not just the specific product that goes into the building, but the whole background and context to the production of that project, of that product.
And to explain to people what we mean by points, and I've been trying to think about what I would describe LEED as. It's a palette of options.
That's right.
You want to get to a certain number of points to be LEED certified, but you can pick and choose how you achieve that to a certain extent.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's the framework of LEED is it has what are called credits, which are essentially topics. So a topic might be energy efficiency, and you get a certain number of points for that. Some have more points, like energy has a lot of points associated with it. Others, like providing, connections to public transit, might be fewer points. Out of that range of options, it's a 110-point total scale. You have to achieve a certain number to get to the different levels of LEED. So LEED also has flexibility in that it has a sort of a basic rating called certified, and then it has higher and higher ratings like silver, gold, platinum for projects that want to have a really high level of achievement. But within all those, you have flexibility to select the credits and the associated points that make sense for your project. So some projects may not be able to achieve water-efficient landscaping, for example. Maybe that's something that's not appropriate for that project. And we, as architects, are always, our first priority, of course, is to our clients. So we do what's right for the project, but then we mesh that with what makes sense from a point of view of LEED. And LEED gives us that flexibility to tailor our certification to what makes sense for that particular.
Is some level of LEED certification required for all government buildings in Ohio now?
That's my understanding. Is for all buildings that are that use state funds from the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission.
Okay, particularly then school buildings.
Right, and that's been the one that's gotten the most attention. But because of that requirement, the state of Ohio is actually number one in green schools, number one in LEED rated schools. We have more than any other state in the country right now.
Because of that building program that started back in really the 90s, mid-90s or something like that.
I think that's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Have we measured what the effectiveness or how do we measure the effectiveness of LEED standards? What's the, I guess, back to that, what's the goal?
Right. Well, there's been a number of external studies. For example, the General Services Administration, the federal government, did a study comparing their LEED-rated buildings versus the rest of their portfolio, and they found that they used 25% less energy, 11% less water, 19% less maintenance costs, and 27% higher occupancy satisfaction. So there have been outside studies that have validated that that LEED is performing and meeting its.
There are other sustainability standards, Green Globes, a few others. How do they compare with LEED in your opinion? I suppose you subscribe to LEED.
Well, I personally and my company, we're supporters of LEED because we found it to be the best framework and the best the leading system that's out there. We've looked at all those other systems. We've also used some at times. There's different systems may be appropriate for different projects, and also some clients come to us and are interested in other systems. There's one called BREEAM that's more prevalent in Europe, so we see that in some European projects. There's a very aggressive standard called the Living Building Standard that's very good but extremely hard to achieve. Green Globes is another one. We find that having this framework or standard is really helpful in achieving green buildings. We're not necessarily committed to LEED only. We're evaluating it all the time, but we've just found to date that it's been a really effective and useful tool. And I would say one other thing, because of the fact that it is the most widely recognized and the best known, that also confers a standard of achievement upon it because people know what you're talking about. More people know what you're talking about when you say that it's a LEED standard as opposed to Green Globes or a Living Building.
A USA Today analysis last year found that obtaining LEED certification can add $150,000 to the cost of a new government building. Now, I don't know exactly what they meant by $150,000 to the cost of new government building. If it was a $5 million building or if it was a $1 million building, that's a relative term. But what about the cost?
Right.
Does it generally increase the cost of a building compared to back in the days when perhaps you first got started in the business? I'm just guessing.
This question comes up a lot with our clients, and the way I like to explain it is it does not have to cost more if you plan for it in advance. So, and in fact, there's been studies validating. There's a major study by Davis Langdon that shows that green buildings in general and LEED buildings in particular can be achieved for the same construction cost as a comparable non-green building. That said, there are elements that you might choose to use to achieve LEED that would have a premium cost. What we found is that most of those, the market has now incorporated and has many products, for example, products with recycled content, low VOC paints, things like that, are now very cost competitive or no additional cost. The ones that tend to have a premium cost, like energy efficiency measures, often have a return on investment. So they pay back often in as little as 3 to 5 years, and then they keep on saving money over time. So while there is a premium cost for that, they save money over the long term.
We are talking about LEED energy efficiency and sustainability standards today. My guest is Eric Thompson. He's a sustainability architect at the Columbus firm of MBBJ. Coming up, we're going to hear from Ohio State Senator Joe Eaker. He is a co-sponsor of a resolution, a Senate resolution that's now in the House that would ban LEED standards, as we've been talking about them, for state government and particular school building projects. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Ohio is now a national leader in healthy, sustainable public architecture. According to many measures, the state has funded the construction of more than 100 schools that adhere to the energy efficiency standards of LEED. That's short for the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. Now, the Ohio House will consider a Senate-passed resolution that would ban LEED standards for the future state government buildings and schools. The resolution would call on the state to favor other standards instead. Republican State Senator Joe Eaker of Loveland co-sponsored the resolution. He joins us now by phone. Welcome to the show. Hello, Senator Eaker.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Certainly.
Why did you propose to ban LEED as a standard for state construction projects?
Well, specifically, several industries came to my office with the information that the new LEED 4 standards will put Ohio jobs at risk. And as you well know, the economy is such, we just can't afford to allow something that the state is mandating to stand in the way of Ohio jobs. Again, this is purely driven by the potential for losing Ohio jobs. Ohio still mandates energy efficiency. And that will this resolution does nothing to vary from that policy standpoint.
What evidence did they give you that it would cost Ohio jobs?
Well, I think with through the committee process, it was more or less verified that there, in order to achieve certain points for LEED certification, that it's not just about the transparency. It is about being able to use certain building products that the new LEED version would prohibit the accumulation of points, and in doing so, that puts Ohio products and therefore Ohio jobs at risk.
Some say that it's big chemical materials and lumber companies that support the resolution and other legislation like that around the country because they oppose those requirements for transparency. And you're saying it's not just the transparency, but what do you think of the transparency components of the LEED regulations? Do you like the idea of that anyway? It's just the other components that you're concerned about?
Oh, certainly. And I don't think really anyone in the industries were talking about the transparency. I think they were the only transparency issue was the transparency that the U.S. Green Building Council used in determining what products were used in what they call their green screen set of chemicals and building products that would inhibit the ability to for the attaining of points for LEED certification. So, yeah.
But as you know, we've been talking, and as you know, LEED is more like a palette of opportunity. It's you don't if you can't make points in one area, you can make them up in another, right?
Well, that's yes, certainly for certification, you certainly can. I'm not sure that that would satisfy the families who work in the vinyl window industry, let's say, who know that in use of tax dollars on public buildings, you would no longer be able to get points for using their windows. Hmm. And that's just not the windows, but of course, you know, talking about the timber industry, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of families that derive their source of income from the Ohio timber industry. And of course, using certain wood products from a company that use clear cutting as their policy for harvesting of timber is on one of those lists that inhibits the ability to garner points for LEED certification. You know, this all comes down to, you know, that really nice prestigious plaque that they give out. And frankly, I'm less impressed with plaques, more impressed with energy efficiency.
What instead does Senate, is it concurrent resolution 25, propose?
That's correct.
What does it propose instead?
Well, it proposes that you can continue to use you know, the previous versions of LEED Forge standards. It proposes that you can use Green Globe or any other rating system. But it also goes on to basically say that you know, energy efficiency is not dependent upon a rating system. We will still have energy efficiency in Ohio.
Is energy efficiency, from what you understand about LEEDs, the main goal of LEEDs, energy efficiency at the point of where the construction is? We were talking about, you know, at the point of use. Or is it about something greater than that? What do you make of that?
Well, I think energy efficiency certainly goes beyond just the dollars saved. I believe that most taxpayers, when they know that they're paying a little bit extra for quote-unquote energy efficiency standards, believe that they are getting a return on the tax dollar. In this particular case, I do understand that LEED is about operational use as well. I believe that what we've seen here, though, since the implementation here in Ohio about 8 or 10 years ago through administrative rules, not mm-hmm. through legislative rules, I might, you know,
right.
have to bring up. I believe back then that the intent was for cost savings, and you know, we should set the standards. The government should lead the way in terms of energy efficiency, and I don't believe that at the time that there was this intrusion by LEEDs recently into the realm of environmental politics. So I believe what LEEDs started out as and what they've morphed into may be two different things.
Some have proposed a study reviewing LEED effectiveness before banning it. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm always for any program that government uses should always be reviewed and under constant review. It is surprising to realize that, no, there's not really been a review on what, if anything, has been saved by the use of LEED standards. You know, intuitively, we believe it would stand to show that there have been savings. Now, and through the committee process, I know others have questioned, and we really don't know since we've not done that study. So, yeah, I'd be all in favor of the study, but in the meantime, I certainly do not want to see Ohio jobs be put on the chopping block or being put into jeopardy while we, quote-unquote, study it.
To what extent have they said that the Ohio jobs are on the chopping block? In other words, again, when you look at the LEED standards, they're choices that construction planners make. It's not written in stone that you can't have vinyl windows, right?
Well, that's true. But think of it this way. If you're a designer, an engineer, an architect, and you're tasked with making sure that this building is LEED certified, and let's say you're on the cusp of a gold or platinum achievement level, I think you're going to go back and you're going to start looking, where can you shave points? Where can you get points? So this is where I think this puts it into jeopardy.
Eric Thompson, from the Columbus office of MBBJ, talk about that. Talk about the process as an architect and with these higher standards or raising the bar that LEED has done in these recent changes. How does that work when you're planning a building?
Sure. Well, as I said before, you know, our first responsibility is to our clients and owners. And we use, and the senator brought up the example of vinyl. We use vinyl every day. It's an extremely common building product. And we would...
Do you see that being changed by
no.
the...
No, the new version of LEED, it just allows a lot of flexibility. There's no banning or blacklist of any product of materials, Ohio or otherwise, in LEED. And it doesn't discourage it. So we select materials that are right for our projects. And in fact, I would also mention that you know, LEED has a point which encourages local sourcing of materials. So it actually, in my opinion, encourages.
Is that new?
No.
Okay.
But it's an important component of LEED that I think brings jobs and construction activity here to Ohio.
Senator Eaker. Where do you get your confidence in other rating systems like Green Globe? What do you know about them that has made you confident that they're a good alternative for LEED?
Well, I think we can look back at a GSA report very recently that encouraged some of the defense and other federal agencies to look at moving towards some of these others and to get away from this monopoly that LEEDS seems to have on this. It's the low-hanging fruit of certification. It's the one that's most known. They've done a great job in marketing themselves throughout the entire industries. And even GSA, the federal government's even recognized that, wait a minute, we do need to start looking at other systems. And these are some of the other ones that they used. I still question the assertion that you have to have a certification in order to have energy efficiency. I think that goes above and beyond reality here.
Do you think energy efficiency is the only thing that everyone's shooting for? There's the sustainability issues. There's, corporate practice and that kind of thing out there. Is that the sort of thing that you don't want LEED to be involved in?
Who are you asking that question to?
Oh, I'm asking you, Senator Eaker.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Sustainability is certainly an issue that should be taken into consideration with any building, with any building that the government does, and mm-hmm. actually that anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure where you're going with that question.
Well, I because you've been referring to energy efficiency, and that, from what I understand, and I may be incorrect, but that's not the sole goal, per se, of LEED certification. It goes beyond that to how things are manufactured. Are they manufactured with recycled materials? You know, what kind of processes are used in the manufacturing, in manufacturing a material or an item, that kind of thing. It's
well,
not just about whether or not the house is or the building is, you're getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to paying your gas bill.
Well, I'm sure the individual taxpayer is concerned about, first and foremost, how much of their tax dollar goes to heat a building and the operational cost of that building. That being said, certainly there is some consideration for as you referred to, the sustainability and some of the environmental issues. I know that my constituents and speaking for Ohio families that do not want to lose jobs, for instance, where does clear cutting of forest timber have anything to do with either sustainability or with cost effectiveness.
And going back to that issue of transparency, you don't have a problem with the idea of making transparent what kinds of products are used to build something, what kinds of chemicals are used to build something, that kind of the ingredients in something so that consumers know what it's made of.
I don't believe that the industry has the industries that have come to me with their concerns mm-hmm. have not made that an issue of transparency of what is in their products. Mm-hmm. They do have problems with the transparency of the methodologies that were used in determining these these products, and that transparency is a very real issue of whether U.S. Green Building Council did this in a form that is commonly accepted scientific standards and methodologies of determination. I think it's somewhat been proven that they in fact did not, and those are also strong, you know, very strong concerns.
Okay, well, State Senator Joe Eaker, if you can stay with us, we'd love to have you.
Certainly.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Still with me, Ohio State Senator Joe Eaker of Loveland, and also Eric Thompson, a sustainability architect at MBBJ. We're talking about green building in Ohio and a proposed resolution to ban a green building certification known as LEED for public construction projects, including schools. The Senate-passed resolution is now in the Ohio House. My next guest spoke against the measure during hearings last month. She is an engineer and director of sustainable design for Wolpert, Inc. in Dayton, Nadia Turek. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
When did you first encounter LEED standards, Nadia?
I first encountered LEED when I was on active duty in the United States Air Force in 2006 timeframe. The Air Force analyzed a number of green building programs so that they could procure better buildings. They are long-term owners of their buildings, owning them 50, 70, 100 years. They want to make sure that they invest in effective, energy-efficient, cost-effective and healthy environments for their people. So at that time, on active duty as an engineer in the Air Force, I first became familiar with the LEED rating system.
The LEED rating system has changed a lot since then, right?
The LEED rating system goes through periodic updates. They update on a three-year cycle, which mimics the process of our building codes and their updates. So it's a process that mimics ANSI standard process, the American National Standard Institute's development process, and it's a very common routine periodic updating process that is very familiar in our industry.
I'm going to take a call right now from Jerome in Marysville. Hi, Jerome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to say to all three guests, thank you for a provocative and well thought out discussion. I have a question for the senator. One of my big concerns is that you've talked about transparency and accountability and efficiency, but one of my concerns is that government tends to be very short-sighted. And thinking about your concern is jobs, if the buildings aren't to the highest standards and they have toxic materials, this is where kids spend most of their lives during the period that their brains are developing. And there's increasing evidence that toxic plastics do affect cognitive development and ability. And that could be in, you know, people being less successful in the job market or being disabled. And that comes back to the state. My concern is that the banning leads for short-term protection of jobs is end up going to costing the state and the taxpayer ultimately more money.
Okay. Let's hear what Senator Eaker has to say. Senator Eaker?
Well, you certainly safety is primary and first and foremost in all of our minds with all of these issues. And no one's ever commented on that to the contrary. The big concern is who says and what is the where was the open and transparent process for making the determinations? And we heard earlier, a moment ago, for the very first time, that that ANSI standards of determination methodologies were used, when in fact, throughout the committee process, we've been told that they did not. And so this is new revelation as far as another story we're being told. The industries have shown us the evidence that Great U.S. Green Building Council made these determination in rather closed-door fashion, without allowing scientific evidence of what is safe and what is not safe. So I want to assure Jerome that this has nothing to do with trying to get around any safety standards at all. It actually is more about pushing the U.S. Green Building Council into being more standards and using scientific methodologies to prove that these assertions that they're making are in fact true or not. We certainly agree that safety is first and foremost, and we want to move towards that in determining these things, of anything that goes into any of our buildings here in Ohio.
Jerome, thanks a lot for that question. Nadia Turek, what do you know about the process by which the council comes to the standards updates every 3 years or so?
Sure. The U.S. Green Building Council is a non-for-profit organization that is membership-based. It has literally thousands of members, to include my company, Wolpert, and many others. And the development process for the LEED rating system is open and inclusive, and the GSA study that Senator Eaker referred to actually found that the LEED development process is, and I'm quoting, open, demonstrates openness, a balance of interest, due process, an appeal process, and consensus. And that GSA study found on behalf of all federal agencies that the LEED development process is open and transparent and inclusive. And I can say that from first-person experience. The over the 3 years that LEED version 4 was developed, it went through six open public comment periods, where it garnered 22,000 open comments from the public. Those comments were incorporated and addressed. And in the end, the robustness of the LEED rating system was validated. It went to a vote. The membership of the U.S. Green Building Council has to vote these rating systems into existence, and it passed by 86% of the vote. So that leaves 14% of unhappy people out there, but you can see it had great consensus in terms of the development of LEED version 4.
What about the issue of scientific standards that Senator Eaker mentioned, Nadia?
Yeah, that is one of the strengths of the LEED rating system. Because it's been around since 1998 and because there are literally over 1.5 billion square feet of LEED certified buildings, we have a lot of data to understand the benefits of LEED and the effectiveness of LEED. Senator Eaker claimed that Ohio had not studied the outcomes from their LEED buildings. But the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission has indeed looked carefully at the 100-plus LEED schools that they've built and found in a study that they're 35% more efficient, 37% less water use.
Then what, though? What are they
building?
I'm sorry, Nadia, but less, more efficient than what?
Than code, than a building built to code. What's
okay.
Interesting is our codes are minimums. They're life and health safety minimums. The LEED rating system and really the green building industry in general is about going above and beyond those code-based minimums to create better buildings, higher quality buildings for the people who are going to live and breathe inside of them. One other finding of that OFCC study, 35% of the materials in those LEED buildings were regionally sourced, meaning they came from within a 500-mile radius, benefiting Ohio's economy. So the effectiveness has certainly been studied and borne out.
What about the issue of jobs, Nadia Turek? You know, you're director of sustainable design at Wolpert Inc., but there are other companies that have other kinds of jobs, and that's what Ohio State Senator Joe Eaker said he's concerned about.
Yeah, absolutely. He and I have that in common because I'm definitely concerned about, for instance, my green job here in Ohio. I'm a green job. I separated from the Air Force in 2007, and I could have gone anywhere with my family, but we stayed in Dayton, Ohio, because Wolpert hired me to do green building, and there was an industry and a need there that developed and created my job. From 2008 to 2013, Wolpert has tripled our staff in our Dayton, Ohio office in mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineers, mainly driven by the demand for green buildings. We've been joined against SRC 25 by other key employers in the state of Ohio, like Owens Corning in Toledo, Sherwin-Williams, headquartered in Cleveland, Dow Chemical, located in Cincinnati, major employers in manufacturing and building products that feel LEED version 4 actually give them a positive advantage in the marketplace because it allows them to develop demand for their green products.
And if I can jump in for
absolutely,
a second.
State Senator Joe Eaker.
Mm-hmm. First, Nadia, that's great information. I would certainly like to see that that study that you're referring to by the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission.
It's available on their website, sir.
Okay. Well, in December, when I met with them, they told me that that they had not, in fact, been monitoring these operating costs, and that they would look at doing so. I'm surprised to see that they would have done that and not contacted my office, but thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. I would like to comment on the development process that you mentioned earlier, though, that simply the industries that have the strongest concerns here with Ohio jobs simply have evidence to bear that that's just not correct. To be open, an open comment period does not make a process open and transparent. And in the case of several of the people and industries in my office earlier when this was transpiring, their complaint was, yes, they were asked for comments. They submitted their comments only to be later told, thank you for your submission, never once being able given the opportunity to go in and to bring in scientific evidence as to why their products do support safety and sustainability. So the evidence just simply doesn't show that, and that's one of the reasons that this Ohio is not the only state. Several other states have started the same process or have already completed the process because of the same considerations and concerns, not just the effect that it's going to have on the jobs within their state, but also with the transparency or the lack of transparency in this process. As far as all but 14% voting for these standards, I am sure that people that are in industries competing with the vinyl industry and the timber industry, I'm sure I know exactly how they would have voted. That's just not what we would consider scientific.
Is it possible, Eric Thompson, of MBBJ, that these standards are getting to a point where they are, you said they, once the industry catches up, then they raise the bar again. Is there a point at which the bar is raised too high and it does start to do damage to industries unfairly?
Well, it could in theory, but I don't think that it has in practice or in LEED version 4. LEED encourages market transformation. Part of setting the bar high is encouraging companies to invest and innovate in new ways to bring new products to market, and we're already seeing that happen. Lots of industries,
Nadia mentioned some of them,
right? But even some of the chemical industries are adopting this standard and looking at ways of bringing products to market and products and process to market that would, in fact, meet the new LEED standards.
Beth in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just I had a question. Back in 2008, when we were training some of our young people how to do efficiency monitoring for homes and evaluations, wouldn't they be able to go in and also help? And wouldn't that create jobs rather than losing jobs for some of the people who are at most risk for not finding future employment?
You're saying having people go to these companies and help them
adapt to the higher standards. Yeah, or go into the schools. I mean, that's what the president was talking about. What we need to do is some of this, in my opinion, is infrastructure, rebuilding infrastructure and creating jobs. So how is that not creating jobs? How is that losing jobs for the people of Ohio?
State Senator Joe Eaker, have you done a comparison of jobs created versus jobs lost when it comes to the LEED standards?
Well, I'm sure other states are in the process of doing that. Because this is so relatively new, and we have not yet designed or built a building yet under these standards, we're trying to forestall an event that could cost jobs, as opposed to trying to react in 5 or 10 years from now when this all comes to the possible fruition. We know that the green building standards have created jobs, and it has created certain technologies. But I think it's ridiculous to embark on something new that's not been proven yet. At a time when the industries were not given the ability to even defend themselves. Granted, everybody on this program on the other side of this issue, they're all dependent upon LEED certification standards. I mean, that's what their livelihood is. There's jobs to be made on both sides, but Ohio is a strong manufacturing state, and to allow a D.C.-based group to vary from where they first started, and to get into ever escalating trend of environmental politics, is just simply not worth the chance of losing Ohio jobs.
Senator Eaker, would you be more comfortable, does it matter that it's not a government group that is setting these standards to you?
I'm not fearful of outside agencies or entities or think tanks or activists even of chiming in and creating ideas and standards by any means. But if they do, and if the state of Ohio is going to mandate that we use these, then by golly, we should have a say in whether or not those standards are met with industry accepted and scientific methodologies.
Nadia, we have just about a minute left. Did you want to respond?
I would like that opportunity. The idea that LEED version 4 is untried and that it brings with it some risk to Ohio jobs is an empty argument to me. We understand that having transparency in the products does not somehow mean that they cannot be used on our projects. The senator has heard testimony from me and others and now from Eric right here on the phone saying that we in the green building industry can and will use any products available to us on a LEED project. We use the best in breed products. We can continue to use vinyl windows, for instance. We continue to use timber. We continue to use all of the products at our disposal. There is absolutely no prohibition of the use of any material or any product or any chemical in all of LEED version 4, and there is no blacklist, for instance, of those that we can't use. What it does do is it perhaps garners us a point if we find some products from manufacturers that, again, simply embrace transparency and openness. Okay. So the idea that we would need a trial period for transparency and openness doesn't hold water with me.
Nadia Turek, Director of Sustainable Design at Wolpert, Inc., thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also, Eric Thompson, a sustainability architect at MBBJ in the Columbus office. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And State Senator Joe Eaker, thank you so much for joining us as well. We really appreciate it.
Certainly.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.